All right.
Page 337.
I was there.
Page 337.
That's okay.
Page 337, NCI Galatians chapter 6. All right, here we go. Let's talk about the process of forgiveness in great detail now. For forgiveness is the extension of love within the world. You'll notice the opportunity to forgive when you notice feelings of grievance, hatred, or fear toward a brother. You may also notice self-hatred or guilt or unworthiness within yourself. Whether the target of these feelings seems to be you or another, it is all the same. This is an opportunity for you to invite love into the world by returning your mind to truth. Truth is God, and God is your source. So to return to truth, you must return to your willingness. A quiet mind is helpful for this journey within the mind, for a quiet mind presents the fewest distractions and obstacles to your goal. During the time when, you know, NTI was coming, my mind was not yet at the level of peace that it is now. And in fact, I had some extremely loud grievances. I had grievances that just ran in my mind constantly. It didn't matter what I was doing. I remember cleaning the shower one day, and I had this grievance in my mind against this one particular man, and I was like, I want to forgive him. I want to let this go. I'm no longer interested in this grievance. And it lasted like 5 seconds. And it's back, you know, and my mind was just always filled with noise and with grievance. So that's why I loved NTI Galatians chapter 6. Is NTI Galatians chapter 6 taught me a process for forgiveness, and we'll be going through it, that was truly helpful. And the first thing it's saying here, of course, is that in order to forgive, we have to return to our willingness. And before we started the recording, we were talking about, you know, what do you think willingness is? Willingness doesn't have to be an emotional experience. Like, you don't have to emotionally feel willing. You can emotionally feel like you hate that son of a bitch and you want to kill him. But yet there's something there on top of that that says, but I'm willing to see this differently. If you have that, but I'm willing to see this differently in there, then you are willing, right? When you're not willing is when you say, no, he's a son of a bitch, and that's the end of the story. You know, and you close the door on it, right? That's not willing. I think sometimes people think that in order to be willing, they have to be beyond the he's a son of a bitch feeling. But you don't. You can be right in it. You're just willing to see differently. It doesn't mean you do right now, right? Right now he's a son of a bitch, but I'm willing to see him differently.
So you're just open to the idea.
You're open to the idea. That's willingness. Yeah, that's willingness. And then he asks, the next thing you want to do is you want to try and quiet your mind. And also before we started the recording, you know, like Francine was talking about how you can find meditations online. She mentioned there's a lot of meditations out there from Esther Hicks that are 15 minutes long. Of course, I'm sure you can find a lot of other meditations. You know, maybe once you find that you're willing to forgive something, then you want to do something that will help you to quiet your mind, at least temporarily. Maybe listening to a guided meditation, maybe reading an inspirational book, maybe listening to music, maybe taking a walk, maybe playing music, maybe drawing. You know, usually everybody has something, taking a bath. Everybody has something that helps to calm them. So whatever that something is, then it's okay to use that to just kind of get yourself into a more restful state, right? Starting with sentence 9, within the quiet mind, you first want to find your willingness. Rest the mind and call to your willingness. You know it is there. It has led you to this moment of asking for it. One reason that sentence is in there is, again, people keep expecting willingness to be an emotional experience. And they think, I'm not willing if I'm sitting here hating this guy. But this is saying, look, even if you're hating the guy, if you willingly ran the bathwater and got in the bathtub and are trying to relax, you must be willing, right? If you willingly, you know, put on some music and are sitting back and trying to relax, you must be willing, or you wouldn't have taken those steps. So even if you're still full of hatred and anger and all of that right now, you are willing. So start calling to your willingness. You want your willingness to become more into the forefront of the picture. And you know it's there, or you wouldn't be doing what you're doing right now. Starting with sentence 13. Your purpose now is only to bring it, your willingness, more fully into awareness. Focus on it, that it may stream more fully within you. Your focus gives it flight. So as you give it focus, it fills you. Now you want to remember that this is something you're doing while you are now in your relaxing experience. You know, whether that's the bath, whether that's a meditation, whether that's reading, whether that's walking. You know, you're starting to relax in this natural environment that you've put yourself in. And then as you relax, you're saying, okay, I want to see my willingness to forgive, or I want to see my willingness to transcend, or I want to see my willingness to, you know, whatever sounds honest to you. I want to see this. I want to concentrate on it. And you start pulling it into your awareness. And this is where it might start to become an emotional experience now, that you're turning your attention to it in a more relaxing environment. You might feel something in you kind of open up. You might feel a little bit lighter, right? Things are going to begin to change. But notice this is something you're putting a little bit of work into, right? You're putting a little bit of attention into. But the environment should begin to change from that whatever grievance environment you were feeling to this more restful, more willing environment with this little bit of focus that you're doing. Once the willingness becomes an emotional experience, then, starting with sentence 16, notice the characteristics of your willingness as it fills you. Notice its peacefulness, its love, and its reality. Rest into it. Be grateful for it. Be immersed by it. What's happening right now is you're putting so much attention on your willingness that you're actually not thinking about your grievance right now. It's like being put on another shelf. You're just fully focusing on your willingness. As your willingness wells up inside of you, tell it why you have come. You have noticed a wound that needs to be healed, and you bring that wound to the light that it may be seen clearly for what it is. You seek only love. Love heals all wounds through gentle sight. Now, the way that you do this, the way that you tell your willingness why you have come, can be done a number of ways. I always did it through journaling. You could do it through prayer, like speaking to your Father or speaking to the Holy Spirit. But at some point, once you really feel that you've relaxed and that you're aware of your true willingness to transcend this or forgive this, then you say, okay, the reason that I came here to the bathtub, right, is because I really do want to forgive this situation with so-and-so, or forgive this idea that I'm unworthy. I mean, this is why I am here. I want this healed. And so now you're bringing it back, but you're bringing it back into a different mental environment than the one you were in before, because you took the time to change your state of mind, is really what you did. So you forget about it, change your state of mind, and then bring it into the new state of mind. And say, okay, this is why I'm here. This thing happened, bothered me. I'm having trouble seeing past it. I want to see past this. I want to see differently, right? Talk to your willingness about your wound. Stay connected with the willingness as you share. Share your perspective openly and honestly, staying alert to answers within. You may not hear words, but you may hear yourself answering. you may suddenly see in what you are sharing something you didn't see before. You may hear a soft voice floating in from the back of your mind, and you may converse with it. It's all the same. So what this paragraph is saying is the way that you receive clarity will vary. You know, individuals don't receive clarity in the same way. Sometimes people just suddenly get this flash of insight and they see something they didn't see before. Some people will, as they're talking or as they're writing, they'll hear themselves say something or they'll see themselves write something that is a new perspective for them, you know, and it came from them. But one thing that's important here is this is saying that you want to share openly and honestly, but again, you want to share openly and honestly, staying in that state of willingness. So if something happened between you and another person, you know, you might say, you know, you don't want to shift back into a blaming state of mind because that's going to shift you back into anger. You want to say, you know, this happened, this is what I felt, this is how I perceived it. You kind of want to use that I language. Because if you start getting back into that he, you're going to get back into the anger. You're going to shift right back over. So talk about what you perceived. Talk about what you felt. But remember, you're here to talk about yourself and to heal yourself. And try not to get back into the blame game. Because that'll shift you right out of your willingness, right back into your wrong mind. And as you just talk about what you perceived and talk about what you felt, and you know, you might even cry. You know, you might even find yourself, as you're really starting to look at how you felt, you might find yourself crying or something like that. And you just keep looking at it, and stay with it in this willingness, with this desire to have it healed. And at some point, some type of clarity or some type of feeling done with it now or some type of shift should occur. And that's what forgiveness is when the idea in you, the wound in you, is healed. Right, so that you can feel differently about the entire situation. Verse 6 says, you are communing with your willingness to learn your true point of view. That point of view is seen through the eyes of love because your true intention is love. This is the process of forgiveness. For in communing with willingness, you commune with spirit. In seeing through willingness, you see through spirit. In spirit, all things are forgiven, because through spirit, there is only love. And the first time that I recall practicing this was when I was upset with someone because I believed that they had betrayed me. And what I did in my willingness was I was on the phone talking with a person, but I was talking with the person not with the purpose of gossip or not with the purpose of getting them to see my point of view. I was talking with the person with the purpose of seeing in my story, the way I told my story, something I hadn't seen before. And so, you know, it's kind of like a coaching relationship, except she was a friend. She wasn't really a coach, but she understood why we were there. And so I was in this willingness. My purpose was to see what I had not seen before. And as I was talking to her, all of a sudden, in my mind's eye, I saw this long line of people going all the way back to fifth grade that I believed had betrayed me. And I saw instantly that with every one of them, I had defined a relationship. Like, this person was my friend. This person was my boyfriend. This person was my teacher. This person was my boss, this person was my employee. You know, there was a defined relationship. And I also saw that with each relationship, I had a set of expectations. This is how friends are to one another, right? This is how bosses should be for employees. This is how employees should be towards bosses, right? I had all these relationships, all these expectations. And then I also saw that there had never been any discussion of these expectations, no agreement between me and the other person. But at some point, they had broken one of those unspoken expectations, and I called that a betrayal. And what I saw, and this all happened in a flash, like instantly, but what I saw was that betrayal was just something I made up in my mind. That if I hadn't said, you're my friend, and as my friend, you're supposed to call me at least once a week, you know, Or you're my friend, you're supposed to understand when I'd rather be with my boyfriend than you, right? If I hadn't already said that in my mind, then she wouldn't even have an opportunity to betray me by not calling or by getting a little perturbed when I wanted to be with my boyfriend instead of her when we already had plans, you know? So the betrayal I saw instantly was something that was completely made up in my mind. And what that allowed me to do is forgive betrayal forever. Forever. Like, no one can ever betray me again as long as I remember people are free and they have their own set of beliefs and they're acting on their own set of beliefs, you know, and that's just the way it is, right? So again, this instant spontaneous seeing came because instead of holding on to the idea he's a son of a bitch, right, I was willing to go into a relaxed state. I was willing to talk with a friend. I was saying, let's look at this. And just in the act of telling the story again, but telling the story in a different intent, suddenly I saw. And it changed everything. You know, and that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is literally seeing it differently. And then I always understood from that point forward in the Course when Jesus said that Judas didn't betray him, that he couldn't because he didn't believe in betrayal. And I'm like, I get that. In order for Judas to betray Jesus, Jesus would have to say, Judas is my disciple. Disciples are supposed to behave this way, right? And then Judas would have broken those rules and it would have been a betrayal. But if Jesus never defined Judas as my disciple, he's just the free son of God. And if he had no expectations of how Judas was supposed to act, then all of those things that we're told Judas did would not be a betrayal to Jesus. It's just Judas believing his thoughts and acting on them, right? So when a true forgiveness happens, it's a shift that is a permanent shift. Like, you never experience that issue again. There may be some little bitty tremors that still come, but you see them differently than you did before. You know, these are just past tremors coming. You never go back into that same belief, that same rage, that same hatred again, because something in you has shifted and you've completely seen it differently. But you know, you can't achieve that shift in the same state of mind that holds the grievance. Einstein said something like about that too, didn't he? Does anybody know what Einstein said about you can't solve a problem with the mind that created it or something like that, right?
The same level that it was created. But
So that's why NTI here is pointing out that before you attempt to forgive, you need to shift to a different state of mind. Right? You really need to take that time to shift over and then look at it again. Because if you're looking at it from the state of the mind that says he's a son of a bitch, well, he's just going to stay a son of a bitch, you know, because that's what that state of mind believes. It's not going to change. So you need to take the time to shift first in whatever way is successful for you. So it might be another day or another week before you're even able to do this. And if so, that's fine. That's fine. In fact, look at sentence 5. Well, let me start with verses 7 to 10 again. This is the process of forgiveness. For in communing with willingness, you commune with spirit. So you've shifted your mind. In seeing through willingness, you see through spirit. In spirit, all things are forgiven, because through spirit there is only love. Now, sentence 5. Forgiveness may seem to take time. So, you know, it's okay if it does. That's just how long it's taking you probably to really shift into willingness. It may take time before you can really shift into that state of mind because the grievance is so strong. Forgiveness may seem to take time, but every true forgiveness saves time, for you reap what you sow. By releasing darkness and accepting light, you receive light, which goes with you as you look on the world again. In this way, forgiveness by forgiveness, your mind is transformed until you do not need a process for forgiveness anymore. One symbol that was given to me once was the symbol of a tree. And the symbol of a tree is if you forgive a person for a specific situation, you know, that's like forgiving a leaf on a tree. But first of all, there's a whole lot more leaves. And secondly, when you take a leaf off a tree, another leaf just grows back. So forgiving a particular person for a specific situation isn't really going to do much, because there's just going to be another situation, another person, right? But if you see a core belief that was behind that grievance, like the belief in betrayal, and you understand that now, or the belief in rejection, or the belief in guilt, or the belief in unworthiness, and if you learn to see that differently, that's like cutting a branch off of the tree. When you cut a branch off of the tree, none of those leaves can regrow, right? So, you know, you're done with betrayal forever, in no matter what. Or you are done with unworthiness forever, no matter what, right? And so that's what he means by forgiveness, your mind is going to be transformed. You can imagine how even cutting a couple branches off that tree is going to really change a lot of things, because you're talking about some heavy hitters here, right? So some key ideas that are behind a whole lot of your misery. Even letting go of two is going to change a lot of things. Verse 11. I share with you the secrets of salvation. They are the secrets of love within your own heart. They are the secrets of your truth, and so they reveal yourself to you. The outer is not important, for the outer is illusion. But the inner is everything. Focus within on the heart and on your willingness. What is outside will seem different, as what is inside is known as transformed. You shall know yourself, and within this knowledge you will know what illusion is, because it can barely be seen when looked at through the eyes of truth. Rest within, therefore, and have faith in all that I say. I share only your truth, which is forever and ever our way. The wings of angels hold your love within your heart. Let them enter into your mind and know thyself. Amen. So, another thing that seems to be suggested here in verses 17 to 18, which again is something Francine brought up before we started the recorder, when he says, rest within, right, and have faith in all that I say, he seems to be recommending frequent periods of rest, or what we might call meditation, contemplation, inspiration. You know, Francine was talking about it, if she starts each day that way, then there's more peace throughout the day. This seems to be recommending the same thing. You need to take time with your willingness. If you blow off your willingness, I mean, literally just blow it off, I got too much to do, blah, 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 that's going to affect how you see the world and how you feel. But if you say, my willingness is really precious to me, and I'm going to make sure I spend time with it at least every morning, you know, at least every morning I'm going to sit down before I start anything else, and I'm going to spend time with my willingness, that's also going to affect how you are throughout the day. You're going to find more peace, more stillness, more detachment, right? So rest within as much as possible. Be with your willingness as much as possible. One thing that I like to do, well, I easily spend, you know, I get lost in my willingness in the morning. So I easily spend hours, 2 or 3 hours, sometimes even 4 hours, I look at the clock and I'm like, uh-oh, I better get up now. But what I also do throughout the day is I take short breaks where I just sit and just relax and like just look out the window and do nothing for like maybe 5 minutes and then return to the work. And it seems like taking just these short breaks just to be still with myself and look out the window, that seems to also really, really help. When I was younger in the 70s, you know, everybody used to smoke and everybody used to take smoke breaks like about every hour. Well, if we could take smoke breaks every hour in the 70s, we can take stillness breaks every hour now. I mean, you know, it's just a matter of priorities, right? We were able to do it when we all smoked. So, you know, find that time just to sit and be for a few minutes and then go back to what you were doing. And that's also going to be very, very helpful to you. And that's the end of Galatians. So We'll start Ephesians when I come back from my mom's. Ephesians is I think, really awesome. Awesome little book, and I wouldn't want to break it up like that. So we'll wait and do Ephesians when we come back. But when we look at Galatians chapter 6, again, this is teaching the process of forgiveness. And the primary idea that was in here is that you need to take time to shift to another state of mind before even attempting to forgive. That's just something you need to do. So I don't know if this next 2 weeks, since I'll be gone, I don't know if you'll have a grievance. It's possible you will, though. And so if some type of grievance arises, you know, try this process for forgiveness. Try first stepping back and finding some way to shift your state of mind. You know, getting more quiet, getting more willing, getting away from it, getting some space. And then when you feel you've really shifted, then bringing it back and looking at it again. Remember to stay within the shift by looking at your perspective in the event. Again, don't return to the, you know, he's a jerk perspective. Return to, you know, say, he said this, and I thought that, or I felt that. You know, you're really focused on how you interpreted, but retell the story from that point of view, from the I point of view, on paper and journaling, in a prayer, to a friend that you can trust, but it's got to be a friend that's not going to jump into the guilt. Well, that asshole, he shouldn't have done that. You know, that friend wouldn't be helpful, right? So you have to make sure it's a friend that's very clear. And just see what happens if you try this process for forgiveness. See if there's any clarity that comes. And again, if nothing significant does happen, remember, this said sometimes forgiveness takes time. So sometimes the first time you step into willingness, you won't get all the clarity, but you might get a little something, right? And then the next time, a little more, and that's going to add up. But again, the key point is to shift your state of mind first. So with that, I will stop the recording, and we'll do a little bit of silence.